breakfast, our love and our devotion to our Lord, and the chance that we had to commemorate his sacrifice here this morning. This beautiful passage that Barry read in Isaiah chapter 53. Jesus did die for our sins. It is because he lives, he's raised from the dead, that we have hope of eternal life. We learn all of these truths in the Word of God. I began last week to talk about the subject of buying the truth. There's a passage in Proverbs 23 and verse 23 that says, "Buy the truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding." And from that verse, and looking at some other verses, I made some observations that there is such a thing as truth. We recognize that in the material world, in the secular world, there are things that we recognize as being true and some things that we recognize as being false. Well, it's no different in the spiritual realm, in religion, in our relationship with God, how one might approach God, what we will face when this life is over with. There's truth, and then there's some things that aren't true. And just like we want the truth in every other aspect and area of life, we want the truth from the doctor, we want the truth from the lawyer, we want the truth from our spouse, we want the truth from our children, we want the truth in religion. We need it. We got to have it. A lie is not going to help you. When you face God, when this life is over with, you're going to want to know that you've had the straight dope, the right information, the truth. It's valuable. It has value to it. All truth has value. But religious truth is the most valuable truth of all. Your soul's salvation depends on it. But the reality is that you don't automatically have it. You're not born with it. You're not born with the truth. You don't have it just because you're a thinking person. Just because you think, have opinions, engage in discussion, doesn't mean you're right. And that's no more true in religion than it is any other aspect of life. You do not automatically have the truth. You've got to get it. And it's going to cost you. There is a cost to having the truth. So if a wise man says, buy the truth. But buying the truth and do not sell it, that implies cost. There is an investment that you're going to have to make, and that's what we're going to talk about for a few moments this morning. And as we pointed out last week, not everybody's willing to pay that cost. And the question is, are you? Am I willing to pay what it takes to have the truth? Because there certainly is a cost, a price for truth. Anytime we want something, anytime you go into a store and you see something, I'd like to have that, or I contemplate, or I think maybe I might want to have that. One of the first things you do is you go over there and you look at that price tag, and most of the time you just well, you just drop that because that's not, I don't want to pay that. Well, there's a price tag on truth. You can't have it for free. You're going to have to pay for it. And as you might well imagine, when it comes to religious truth, the first and foremost price that you're going to have to pay is you're going to have to spend some time and make some effort in the study of God's Word. That's the truth. Now, that one's free. I'll give you that one free. But even then, it's not free because you've got to accept that. Do you accept that? Do you accept that what I'm telling you right there is true? That you, not me, not the elders, not the church, not mom and dad, you. That you are going to have to spend time and effort to study God's word if you have any hope of knowing truth. You can, but you've got to do it. You understand that, right? That's the cost. We looked at this passage last week. Let's look at it again. John 8, 31, 32. Again, I'll remind you, Jesus is not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to believers. It says so in the prior verse. He sees these people who have come to him because they believe in him. I mean, they've already bought in, so to speak. They've bought in to Jesus. They've already made somewhat of a commitment to him. And yet he says this to them in John 8, 31. Jesus, therefore, was saying to those who had believed him, if you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, if you abide in my word, you shall know the truth. We all understand the concept of if-then in other aspects of life. And when it comes to purchasing things, there's always an if-then. What's it going to take for me to drive away with this car? Well, if you sign these papers, and if you put down such and such amount of money, then the car is yours. But if you try to drive off in the car without the if, then they track you down and you go to jail. That's the way that works. You ever walk out of a store with something? You've got something and, you know, you had it, and then you put it in your bag or put it in your pocket. And you never do that because you might forget. Put it in your pocket, you walk out of the store, and you you've got to pay the price. You got to go back in the store and say, hey, I forgot to pay for this. I forgot I had this. Well, you don't get away with truth if you don't pay the price. And the price is you have to abide in the words of Jesus. You have to. And that word abide, that means something. That doesn't mean just, you know, a cursory glance or, you know, one-time payment. You know, sometimes they're tired of saying, one-time payment, a low one-time payment. Well, there's no one-time payment. Abide means to dwell, to live, to maintain, to stay. Stay is probably the best word. Where are you staying when it comes to truth? When it comes to your convictions, your faith, your beliefs, your attitudes, your thoughts, the way you live your life, the things you commit yourself to, where do you stay? Because Jesus said, if you want the truth, if you really want the truth, if you want to have the truth and keep the truth, then where you need to stay is in the words of Jesus. Are you paying the price? Jesus says this to those who believe in him. He would say that to you, if you're a believer in Jesus, if you stay in my words, then you have the truth. And that truth will make you free. Psalm 119, beautiful psalm, Psalm 119. And it talks over and over again about how the psalmist is committed to. Is this not working? I need to stay here, don't I? The psalmist, don't I have this turned on? Truth is, it's turned off. That's the truth. I'll turn it back on. Maybe that'll help. There you go. See? A little bit of truth there. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, Lord, your word, your laws, your statutes are beautiful to me. I love them. I dwell in them. I live by them. don't let me forget them. I mean, over and over again, Psalm 119, the psalmist talks about the law of God, and the ordinances of God, and the statutes of God, and how I need them, and I want them. And beautiful, beautiful psalm. And toward the end, he says, the sum of thy word is true. The sum of thy word is true. Now, that's not S-O-M-E, sum of thy word is true. It's S-U-M. It means when you add it all together, you put it all together, take all of God's word, that's true. And you need all of it. You need every bit of God's word. Now, when you think about it, when you think about a Bible, that's a lot. There's a lot of individual truths, a lot of bits and pieces of the truth, some truth here, some truth there, but how much of it do you really need? You go to the store and you need some groceries. You don't need all the groceries. Although sometimes I feel like that's what I'm paying for when I check out. I mean, the bill is pretty high. But you need all of God's word. You need all of it. Well, how are you going to get it? One verse at a time. One passage at a time. You read it. You reflect on it. And that's what the psalmist is talking about. Psalm 119. I think about it. I dwell on it. I walk by it. The book of Psalms begins. You know how the first psalm begins? Psalm number one. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, you know, or sit in the seat of the scorners, or stand in the way of sinners. He doesn't listen to sinners and scoffers. He doesn't buy into their philosophy. He doesn't spend his time dwelling on their thoughts, the sinners, the scoffers, the wicked people. But his delight, verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. That's the price. That's the price for truth. Because the sum of God's word is truth. And if you want the truth, you got to have it all. You got to meditate on it. You got to dwell on it. You got to think about it. 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul commends to Timothy his knowledge of the Word of God, of salvation that is imparted through the Word of God. And he reminds Timothy of his upbringing, of his mother and his grandmother, and how they raised him and how they taught him. And he says that from an infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, there was an investment that was made. It was an investment of a mother and a grandmother of making a purchase, of paying a price. And that price was to sit down with their son and their grandson and over and over and over again, night after night, day after day, to teach their child, to teach their son the Word of God. They paid the price. Timothy paid the price by listening. He listened and he listened and he took it in. And from a childhood, from infancy, he knew the Scriptures which are able to make you wise for salvation. And then Paul goes on to say, all Scripture, there's the sum, there's all of it. All Scripture is inspired by God. That means breathed out by God. It all comes from God. What parts are not useful? What parts can you ignore? What parts, you know, I don't need that. You know, when you want something, you buy a car, they ask you, you know, what do you want? This add-on, or you want this part, or you know, want this addition? And usually the best answer is no. But if, you know, they say, do you want all of the car? Do you want the engine? Yeah, you know, of course I want the engine. Do you want the steering wheel? Yeah,
but God has a steering wheel. You see, those are not optional. You want tires on that car? I want tires on the car. Well, there's nothing. It's not optional. It's not optional. Now, I know that the New Testament is the basis of our covenant with God, but the Old Testament is written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come, as Paul says in Romans 15. It's for our instruction. It's all needful. It's all useful. All Scripture is inspired by God and useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God, the man of God, might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, Paul writes that to Timothy, but he may as well be writing it to you too. Do you know the Scriptures? You know them, because they'll make you wise into salvation. What if you don't know them? Well, then you don't have the wisdom that leads to salvation. And you don't have the things that you need to make you a thoroughly equipped servant of God. You don't have the essentials. You don't have the tools. What would you think of a plumber who showed up at your house to fix your plumbing? He said, well, I know how to fix this, but I didn't bring my tools. That'll be $100. No, bring the tools. You got to have the tools. Well, here are the tools. This is what you need. Yeah, you need all of it. Are you making the investment? Are you paying the price that it takes to know the Word of God? Because you need to know the Word of God. You need to know the Word of God. Acts chapter 17, that passage that we read there where Paul comes to Berea and he preaches and teaches these Bereans about salvation in Jesus Christ. And Paul cites the Scriptures and the prophecies about Jesus and explains to them how Jesus fulfills those prophecies and how now salvation is in Jesus. And it says that these Bereans, they did something quite interesting. They paid the price. The price for truth. It says, now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. How are you going to know? How are you going to know what the truth is? How are you going to know? I'm not talking about me. I'm not talking about these other people here. They've got their own problems. I'm talking about you. Are you willing to do what these Bereans did? Are you willing to pay the price? You ever play that game? You know, you do this sometimes. You know, you go to a restaurant, you sit down, you're eating, and there's somebody over there you know. And you like them. You like them a lot. And so you'll pay for their bill. You'll tell the waitress, hey, I got that guy's bill. Now, I know some of you would never do that. But I've done that. And I've been the occasional recipient of that. Anytime you feel like doing that, you're welcome to do it. Nobody can buy your knowledge of the truth. You have to buy that. Nobody can pay the price. You have to pay it. That's the truth. Are you examining the Scriptures daily? Are you examining the Scriptures daily to see what the truth is, to know the truth, because that's the price. That is the price, my friend. 2 Timothy 4. We're going to start in verse 3. But I want you to notice that 4 right there. We're going to come back to it in a moment. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3. Here again, Paul's writing to Timothy. He says to Timothy, he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. You ever look for somebody to tell you what you want to hear? It's a common thing to do. It's a lot better to find a source that will confirm what you already believe, what you already think, what you want to believe, what you want to think. You've already made up your mind what you're going to think about something.
Just find somebody who teaches that. You know, that's that old story about the marksman. I've told this story before. I'll tell it again. That's what preachers do. Army recruiter comes to the town, a little small country town, and he starts seeing all these bullseyes everywhere. Bullseye there and a bullseye there. And in the middle of that bullseye, right in the middle of the bullseye, there's a bullet hole. And there's one over there and there's one over there. And he says, man, somebody is a good shot. And he inquires and asks around. He says, oh, that's old Jeb, you know, Jeb's boy. He says, well, is he fighting age? Yeah, he just turned 18, you know. So he goes to Jeb's house and says, I want to talk to you about your boy. You know, he looks like a good marksman. He says, call him out here. Boy comes out here. He says, man, you know, I've seen your work, all those bullseyes you shoot. Tell me how you learned to do that. Oh, it's easy. I just shoot whatever I feel like, and then I go draw a circle around it. See, somebody heard that joke. Is that what you do? You just believe whatever you want to believe, and then you just go draw some kind of smattering of scriptures around it because it's convenient? Because that's what these people do. But that won't fly with God. That won't work. You can't just find a teacher to tell you what you've already decided to believe. I hope that you don't think that's what I am. Because I'm certainly not meaning to be that. Paul says, Timothy, the time will come when they don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear sound doctrine. They want to just hear what they want to hear. And they'll find a teacher that'll tell them that. And he goes on to say in verse 4, and they'll turn away their ears from the truth and they'll turn aside to myths. They're not willing to pay the price. They're not willing to pay it. They don't want to hear the truth. And they'll find a teacher who won't teach them the truth. Teach them what they want to hear. Now let's back up and talk about that four in verse 3. But typically verse 3 follows verse 2. So let's read verse 2. Preach the word. Preach the word, Timothy. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. And as it's often been said, when they like it and when they don't like it. When it's comfortable, when it's uncomfortable. In season and out of season, preach the word. Preach the word, Timothy. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Now that's my job. As a teacher and a preacher of God's word is to preach the word. Not preach the philosophy and wisdom of the world, not preach current attitudes, not buy into the soup du jour of worldly thinking. That's not my job. I'd be useless to you if all I did was parrot whatever mainstream society has decided they want to believe. I would be absolutely a danger to you. My job is to preach the word. Whether you like it or you don't like it. Whether it suits you or it doesn't suit you. My job is to preach the word. And sometimes that includes the idea of rebuking and correcting. The word of God is the corrective. All scripture is inspired of God and is useful for correction. Correction. But you've got to pay the price. You've got to sit there. Listen to the word of God and take the rebuke and take the correction. Listen to what I'm saying, not because I'm saying it, but because it's in the word of God. And let it speak to you. Examine it. See its validity. See if it's in fact exactly what the word of God is saying. And change. Change your thinking. Change your life. That's the cost of truth. That's the price. Are you willing to pay it? 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, make every effort. Now here Paul's talking to Timothy, the preacher. And that's the first application. The second application is to you. Make every effort, Paul says, to present yourself approved to God, an unashamed workman who accurately handles the word of truth. You know, if you were a pipe fitter and you were given the job to fit some pipe, and you cut them and you made them and you fashioned them and you took them out there to install them and they didn't fit, you'd be ashamed because you did a bad job. And if you were a surgeon and you cut the wrong spot and the patient bled out, you'd be ashamed. If I don't preach the truth, if I don't handle it accurately, if I don't handle the Word of God accurately, if I don't teach exactly what the Word of God is saying, I should be ashamed of myself. But more than that, if you don't examine the Scriptures to see whether these things are so, and you don't spend your days and even some nights, meditate day and night, if you're not spending your time to make sure that you're accurately handling the word of truth, because anybody can make a cursory reading of a passage, listen to one lesson or one sermon and just get some kind of notion in their head and just camp down on that and just never reconsider it, never think about it, just say, oh, I heard it once and so I got it. Well, no. You do your best. You make every effort to show yourself approved to God. Handle the Word of God accurately. I got a few more things to say. We'll see how much I get in here. It will cost you your cherished falsehoods and self-serving lies. And we all got them. Got things that we always heard, and they become comfortable. Yeah, I have that pair of socks or pants or a shirt or something. It's old and worn. It's got kind of tattered. It's got kind of faded. But you just like it. You had it all your life, you know. And if your wife was really helping you out, she might throw it out. But man, it would make you angry. You know, oh, what did you throw that out for? It's not doing you any good, fellas. I got a purple robe, purple bathrobe. Got all kinds of, it's silk. I got it at a garage sale. Silk bathrobe, it's purple. It's got all kinds of roses in it. Rose, very manly. I love that old robe. I don't wear it much, but I love it. And I won't let Peg get rid of it. You know, some people have got ideas they've gotten in their head. Somebody taught it to them long ago. Mom and Dad taught it to them. The church they grew up in taught it to them. And they just love this tradition. They so love this idea. It's not true. It's not true. They give it up. They won't give it up. But you got to, if you want to pay the price for the truth, you have to give up what's not true. And some of those lies are self-serving lies about what is really legitimate, what is really innocent, what is really moral, but it's not. We got to give that up, and it's difficult to give up, but that's part of the price of truth. Think about this passage in John 4. We talked about it before, you know, where Jesus says, those who worship the Lord must worship in spirit and in truth. Truth matters in worship. But part of that context, the Samaritan woman asked Jesus a question. She said, I've heard my whole life. My mom and dad taught me. My grandparents taught me. My forefathers taught me that I should worship on this mountain, Mount Gerizim. That's where we ought to worship. I worshiped there my whole life. And the people I grew up with worship there, and I love those people, and I trust those people, and they mean the world to me, and that's what I've always been taught. Is that true? Should I be worshiping on Mount Gerizim? At least she has the gumption, the guts, the nobility, the honesty to ask the question. And Jesus says, no, that's not where you should have been worshiping. Mom and Dad was wrong. Your grandparents were wrong. Your forefathers were wrong. Your friends and neighbors are wrong. They're wrong. It's not true. Now, for a lot of people, that'd be the end of the conversation. They just get all mad and storm out and say, well, you're not going to tell me that my mom and dad, I've done this my whole life. You're going to tell me? Well, that's a person who's unwilling to pay the price for the truth. Am I willing to pay? Here's another one, Acts chapter 10. Peter's praying up on the roof there, and he has a vision from heaven. And in this vision, this sheet comes down full of animals, unclean animals. And a voice from heaven says, "Peter, arise, kill and eat. Eat these animals." And Peter says, "I've never done that. My whole life, I've never eaten unclean animals." And the voice from heaven says, "Well, you can't say that anymore. You've got to change. What I declare to be clean, no longer consider to be unclean." Well, you know, some of these ideas and some of these things that we've been taught or thought our whole life, they're wrong now. They're wrong. According to the Word of God, and that's what you got to go by. Or this passage again in Acts chapter 17. Paul marches into Athens. He sees all of the pagan temples and the idols and the idolatry. And he gets up there on the Areopagus and he says, "You people are religious. You're very superstitious. You're very devoted to your gods. But I'm telling you, you're wrong. God is not represented by some man-made object. And you shouldn't give reverence and religious obeisance. You should not do that to an image. And God is telling you, you got to change. Repent." God is declaring all men everywhere, repent. Now, most of the people in that crowd would have just blown Paul off, and probably did, and did not change their ways. And they kept on practicing an error, a falsehood, an untruth, and they died and lost their souls. But some of them listened. And the question is, what kind of person? It's not just this one issue. It's what kind of person am I? Am I the kind of person that can see something in the Word of God that doesn't quite jive with what I've been told? And am I going to look into that? Am I going to study it? Am I going to examine it? Am I going to dig deeper? Am I going to just say, "Oh, well, you know, I've always believed this"? That's the price. Whether you pay the price or not, it's up to you. Ephesians 4, 14 and 15. "We are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men." Oh yeah, they'll lie to you. A lot of those guys, they don't know what they're talking about. "By craftiness and deceitful scheming." You know that a lot of what is taught in the world, in the religious world, the spiritual world, is wrong. It's a lie. It's a deceit. Most of the people don't know it. They bought into a lie, but we can't. We got to pay the price. But speaking the truth in love, we grow up. Can't afford to be a child. Can't be gullible. Pay the price. Tell the truth. Well, I'm out of time. That's the truth. Out of time. There are other costs of truth. It is going to cost you. But mainly, and the biggest part of a cost of truth, is what you're going to do with it once you know it. You invested and made the effort to find out what the truth is. Then you have one more price to pay, and that is, are you going to follow the truth? Are you going to obey the truth? Are you going to live the truth? Because otherwise it doesn't do you any good. Do you know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Do you know? And it's the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except by Him. You know that. And you know what He said. You know that He said, "He that believes in Me and is baptized shall be saved." You know that that is the truth. Are you willing to accept and embrace and live that truth? And if you haven't up to this point, then you haven't paid the price yet. Full price of the truth. But if you want to pay that price this morning, come forward and say you will as we stand and sing.
Our dear Father in heaven, we're so thankful for these